Caller says it's unreal that an elected government was overthrown in Ukraine for so-called violence against its people, and then a puppet government was installed by America, and straight away they set about going to war with the whole of the people of the East Ukraine. That's a flip side point of view there. Joe McHugh's appointment displays this Fine Gael Labour government's attitude to the Irish language, also their decision-making capacity in general. Shame on them. And it's a joke getting a high-profile job you're not qualified for. This makes Joe just as arrogant as Enda, and the gullible Donegal people will take it. Is that fair, though? Because Leo Varadkar, a lot of people, if they had to pick someone out as the perhaps shining light in the Fine Gael Labour coalition, he's Minister for Health, and as far as I'm aware, he doesn't know one end of a stethoscope to the other. Well, I'm being a bit facetious there, but he's certainly not a doctor, is he, as far as I'm aware, or is the Minister for Finance an accountant, or is the Minister for Agriculture a big farmer or a small farmer, and so on and so forth. So do you need necessarily to be fully qualified in a certain area to have a the full use of a language to qualify for that job? As I say, that's why it was so interesting to speak to Cleona, because it's all right and well me speaking here with incredibly limited Irish that I managed to pick up in national school and to some degree in secondary school in Donegal Town. But if you're an Irish speaker, those are the people really that it comes down to, and it's their voice that is the most important, isn't it? The message is, forget about putting so much money into the Irish language, as there are many dialects of it. I can't follow the New York without looking at the subtitles, and I have Leaving Cert Irish. We touched on that too with Cleona, didn't we, that it's such a varying language right across the country. Is it any wonder Irish is so hard to learn? They need to sort it out. At the end of the day, if a Kerry teacher teaches you his way, how do you communicate properly with someone from Donegal? Well, our teacher, a very good Irish teacher in the tech in Donegal Town, was from down the country. And I think we pretty much ended up picking up bits and pieces of all of it. But it's so easy forgotten when you don't use it, isn't it? 086 77 00 555. Keep your texts coming in. It doesn't have to be all seriousness or what have you. If you want to come on and talk to us about something a bit more light-hearted, or want to raise an issue that is, you're more than welcome to do it. There's a broad agenda here on the Weekend Edition, and you can call Yvonne too. She's waiting to take your call. 074 91 25 000. Now, another caller says, do we know if Joe can read or write Irish? That's come up before. And also more praise for Joe in his interview in Irish on Radio na Gaeltacht, which will be one of his biggest challenges, isn't it? Because in reality, most of the interviews ministers are expected to do, for right or for wrong, is in English. Okay, 11:05. It's the Weekend Edition here with Greg Hughes. Thank you so many of you for interacting with us. It's very much appreciated. And also on Twitter too, just a reminder, at Greg Hughes 2. That's G-R-E-G, and not Craig, as I generally am called. But it's G-R-E-G-H-U-G-H-E-S, and then the number 2. That's if you wish to use Twitter. And our Facebook page is there as well, of course, at Highland Radio. You can interact with us there as well. A reminder for you that we're on air with you at 12. Then P.O. McCann is off his travels for once. He's in studio with his fantastic program, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that too later on. But we do have an ad break to get to. I think we'll be talking about the Wild Atlantic Way after this break. Donegal County Council, in association with Fulch Ireland and Donegal Tourism Limited, say that the Connecting the Wild Atlantic Way conference coming up in Donegal on September 25th is going to be hugely important. To discuss this, we're joined on the programme now by Sarah Meehan, who's Tourism Marketing Officer with the council, isn't it, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm Tourism Marketing Officer for Donegal Tourism.
Okay, so tell us
that's my role.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit then about this conference that's upcoming and its importance.
Well, the Wild Atlantic Way has been on the pipeline now for the last couple of months. And I suppose since the gathering, it's the next big tourism initiative that's taken that over. And what we found is it's a really, really exciting concept. And what we found is that maybe businesses are not as aware of, you know, the different dynamics surrounding the Wild Atlantic Way. So we sat down and had a brainstorm together as a committee a couple of months ago, and we said, look, what we do is we would perhaps host a conference ourselves, Fulch Ireland and Donegal County Council. And the conference would be focused mainly towards businesses in the Donegal area, and it's kind of a two-pronged approach. One is to educate them about the Wild Atlantic Way and what Donegal has to offer, and what they can do as a business. And the second thing then was to kind of teach them how that they can utilize this in their marketing tactics that they use through their website, their social media, and how they can incorporate it into their strategy to kind of get the word out there of what they're doing as well.
So I'm presuming if I owned a business on or around the Wild Atlantic Way, it'd be a case of trying to maximise any potential there may be from those travelling on it.
Oh, absolutely. We've had massive interest from America, the UK, Europe, you know, all over the world. There's such interest in the Wild Atlantic Way. And I suppose what Donegal has to offer is massive. We've got three of the signature destination points, Malin Head, Fannet Head and Slieve League. But, you know, Donegal's coastline is over 1,100 kilometres, which is actually 17% of the national coastline. It's really massive. We really do have so much to offer. And, you know, this conference will kind of incorporate every business. It's hotels, restaurants, you know, whether you're a surf school, you have a pub, any retail outlet, you know, equestrian, golf resorts, you know, any retail outlet that the tourists may engage with on the Wild Atlantic Way route.
Speaking to some businesses and some people, they seem to think this is like a one-stop train, and if you're not directly on this route, then you're out of luck. I presume if you use the right kind of tools, those travelling it are prepared to wander off a few miles in either direction. Yeah, as I say, you don't exactly have to be directly on the route to benefit from it, and if people perhaps open their minds to that, more people would benefit to you would hope from the increased traffic.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's some very remote places on the route. So people, you know, they're going to get hungry at different points, thirsty at different points. They're going to need to stop for fuel at different points. They're going on to maybe an equestrian centre that's a bit off the beaten track. You know, there are so many different avenues that people can look at this. So I think maybe looking at it that it's just around that coastline, you know, there's so much more potential for any business really in Donegal within a wide radius of the Wild Atlantic Way that they can maximise on this also.
True. The sooner people stop talking about the signs and focus on the potential, perhaps we'd be better off. It's free, I understand, but not. There's obviously not going to be places for everyone.
No, the conference is free. I suppose the conference is going to be an all-day conference. We haven't decided on the actual venue yet, but we'll be releasing that now in the next week or two. It's free. It's on the 25th of September, which is a Thursday. We're going to have an expert panel of speakers from Google, Facebook, and some of Ireland's digital marketing agencies. And these will all speak to show businesses how they can make the most of the Wild Atlantic Way. You know, not on a basic level, if they don't have a website, they'll maybe talk about the importance of that, or, you know, the things to focus on. If you've got a Facebook page, to focus on maybe some of the things that we have to offer in Donegal, the highest sea cliffs, and, you know, there's so many different aspects to it. But alongside that, what we're going to do, there's a few businesses in Donegal, and they've really captured the whole concept of the Wild Atlantic Way, and already they're utilising it and they're finding fantastic results from it. So in the afternoon, we're going to have a breakout session. We're going to have three or four of these local businesses who are going to talk about what they've done and the success that they've had utilising the Wild Atlantic Way. And this will also be tips. Give other businesses tips on what they can do maybe to utilise the Wild Atlantic Way also.
Okay, so, well look, I'm sure people can get more information online and what have you, Sarah.
Absolutely. Registration will be on the Go Visit Donegal Facebook page, and that will be in the next week or so. Also Donegal County Council Facebook page or Malham Waters. If anyone wants any more information on it, they can contact Joy Harran on DonegalMarineTourism@gmail.com, and Joy will come back to you with any other information. So we're really excited about meeting the businesses at the conference and about people signing up.
All right, Sarah Meehan, Tourism Marketing Officer with Donegal Tourism. Thank you so much for joining us on the programme.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
So my bad, quite a lot of reaction on the Twitter machine. I implied Leo Varadkar didn't have a medical background. My general point, I'm going to worm my way out of this and see how convincing I am. My general point was, though, that, you know, would you have to be a doctor to be the Minister for Health? Would you have to be an accountant to be the Minister for Finance? Would you have to be, you know, a farmer to be the Minister for Agriculture? But quite a few of you pointing out that Leo Varadkar is actually a GP. Of course I knew that. Did I know it when I said it? I'm not 100% sure, because I'll have to listen back to the podcast. The show will be back up online for you by Monday morning if you wish to listen back to the weekend edition here in Highland with Greg Hughes. 086 77 00 555 is the text line. You can call Yvonne on 07491 25000. Loads more to pack in between now and 12 o'clock. We'll be back with more on the show after this break. Well, indeed, that break doesn't want to go, so there's not an awful lot I can do about that. We will be talking on the programme very shortly about Primerica. It's been rated as one of the best places to work. It's a huge employer in Letterkenny, but does everyone know precisely what they do? I didn't really, to be honest. I had some idea of it, so we'll get some background into that, and maybe some lessons we can learn as to how, you know, to improve the happiness of the workforce. A happy workforce is a productive workforce, they do say. And it's not all about remuneration, apparently. There's more to it than that. We're going to be talking about Friday, Fiverr Friday, which is coming up. It's in Boncrana, and it's an initiative. I believe it starts next week, and it's just to try and get people to spend a bit more money locally. And it's we'll track it and see how it goes, and maybe it's something that will pick up. As I know, and I joked about it a little bit earlier on, but it's a feature of the Lifeline, isn't it? Joe Duffy, he's done quite a few of those, and there's been a huge reaction to that right across the country, and it seems to be particularly positive as well. You're tuned to the Weekend Edition here in Highland Radio with Greg Hughes. Joined in studio now by Crime Prevention Officer Donegal Garda Sergeant Paul Wallace. Sergeant, thank you so much for making your way into us this it's Thursday. No, it's not. It's Saturday. That's right. It's the Weekend Edition. Thank you so much for coming in on the programme.
Lovely, Greg. Thanks for the opportunity.
Excellent. Now, we're hearing on the news this morning, Paul.
I think it's 19 minutes past 11. You said 7.
Did I?
You did.
19 minutes past 7 on a Thursday. I don't
know
where I thought I was. Okay, well, hopefully, yeah.
That's normally my thought process.
Well, thank God it's not just me. We heard on the news, it's part of an ongoing investigation. There are a couple of people in custody. It relates to some criminal activity. We believe that those arrests are in connection with that. Of course, there's due process that has to be and should be allowed to get on with or to be gotten on with. But what can you tell us, Sergeant Wallace?
Yeah, well, there's three people in custody this morning, Greg, as a result of the investigation or of the follow-up to a number of burglaries and attempted burglaries in the St. Johnstone, Newton Cunningham area. Kicked off in Newton Cunningham area in the early hours of that morning, moving then on towards Craigadoo, St. Johnstone, Porthall, that area. I suppose the simple thing is these guys are moving around. They had purchased a car earlier on in the evening, a silver UK registration, not 100% sure of the number. I think it's possibly a V-Reg, you know, starting with V, but certainly a yellow plate on a silver Vectra, old type car. Bought it that evening in St. Johnstone and was using it, and that was the car that was left at the scene, but then there was other plates put on the car, which is the norm as such. So this is what happens. These guys, they buy cars to do the crime and dispose of them. You know, it's a sort of like a disposable tissue nearly the car
even
is.
Even the switching of the plates can make the job of the authority and the public who try and assist them so much more complicated.
Well, this is it. You know, the only definite or constant on it is that it was a silver-coloured Vectra. Vauxhall Vectra, the car was bought earlier, and then it was left at the scene, and that has been covered in your news bulletins. But what these people are doing, they're going around, they're trying doors of houses at night, they're trying to get in, they're stealing small scale stuff that's easily sellable, electronic goods, phones, jewellery, watches, money if they can get it, that sort of thing. But the other thing is they're trying the doors of cars that are parked outside the house. And people aren't locking their cars, no matter what we say to them. And as one of the crime spikes, theft from cars.
And I think people
have
to be careful with that, not to diversify. But, you know, when it comes down to insurance claims, I think that you know, it depends on your company or whatever, but there is a responsibility, I presume, from the insurance company's point of view, to ensure your vehicle is securely locked as much as you can.
And you know, we live in rural Ireland, and I suppose even though we do have these spikes, and we had, you know, that's a fair bit of activity in that area, and over the last couple of nights, and it makes people concerned. You know, older people that are living alone get very exercised about this, and rightly so, you know, because they don't know, are they going to be the target next? But like the ordinary punter, the ordinary man or woman in the street, leaving a car sitting on in their yard or outside their house with the keys stuck in the ignition or the car open. Now, in one case there recently, the burglars actually got the keys of the house in the car. Because it was on the keyring, of course, like us all. The keys were stuck in the ignition, but lucky enough, they couldn't get the door open for whatever reason.
Maybe there was a second key on the inside.
Could have been, or you know, that sort of thing. But you know, this is simple, basic stuff that people are talking about crime, and the whole place has gone mad, and what can we do, and all of this. You can do an awful lot by doing the basics.
Now, there's a little dilemma I have, and I'm sure other people listening would have at home in relation to that. If these people are looking to target your car, many of us will hang the keys at the front door. Some of us will put them on the breakfast bar or on the kitchen table. Others will say, well, no one's taking my car, and they'll take the keys and they'll have them in the bedroom with you. There's complications with all of that, because if someone's coming in and they're desperate, do you want to say, right, it's a material property, take it, or do you want them to come into your bedroom if they were to do and have that confrontation? What would your advice be as to that? Do you know where I'm coming from?
I do.
You don't want to aggravate them either.
No, and it goes back to the simple thing, and the question comes up all the time, what do I do if somebody comes into my property? You know, the way I always answer that question is you have constants and variables. The constant is that you're in the house, you're in bed or asleep or whatever you're doing in the house, you may be sitting watching television. The variable is this: they're up and down the road, they've decided to target your house. You don't know how many of them are in it, you don't know their gender, you don't know their physical capabilities. Are they fit, strong young fellas?
Are they wired on drugs?
Have they weapons of offence? Have they firearms? What have they with them? So if somebody comes into your house and you're kind of sitting back and saying, well, if they come in, I'll have a go, you know, you need to think about that, because these guys, the adrenaline will be pumping, as you mentioned there. Maybe the substance are pumping as well. You're sitting in the chair, relaxed, watching a film. Maybe you're in bed, sound asleep. Like, who's going to win that battle? Mm-hmm. So, but to answer the question is, well, I suppose what the advice we would give to somebody or to anyone who would ask, if you're in your house and you think there's intruders in your house, 999, ring the guards. That's the first thing you should be doing. Saying, look, I think there's somebody in my house, blah, blah, blah. The same thing going back to the car. We know that criminals target high-powered, quality, prestige cars. So if you have that type of car, you do need to be taking precautions in relation to the keys, and you certainly do not need to be leaving them in the ignition.
Yeah.
Now, as you said, the insurance company will take a very dim view, and they probably will walk away if it can be proved.
I'm not going to ask you to comment about it, but people listening will know if they can get out of it, they will. They're a business.
And you know, they have to avoid shrinkage as well. But if you can have your keys in a safe place, and if they come into your bedroom looking for the keys, well, I'd be handing them over, because you've taken all due diligence. Mm. You know, you've locked your car, you've taken the keys into the house. Like, there's no point in getting into argy-bargy over, as you said, quite rightly said, it's a material piece, it's a piece of metal. Mm. Okay, it's worth X, but at least you can say, well, I was burgled, or they came into the house, they had weapons of offence, I had to hand over the keys.
A couple of questions I want to ask you in relation to this. People are going to ask, and I'm not sure if there's a clear answer, and if there isn't, we'll move on. To what lengths can you go to defend your property?
There's new legislation that was passed. It was one of the things Alan Shatter did as Minister for Justice in relation to increasing or protecting the householder. Now, there's two simple, very simple things about it. Off the top of my head, I can't remember the exact title of Forcible Entry of Occupiers Act or something like that. But there's two basic things in it. It says that the householder or the person in the house... that's in the house at the time, can use reasonable force, but reasonable force hasn't been defined.
Mm-hmm.
So that is still out there in the ether. That will be defined in a court.
We have to see the legal precedent, don't we? Yeah.
The other thing is, the important thing is, you're covered, the legislation covers you in that context, in your house or within the curtilage of your building or dwelling. I'd say, what, and again, that'll be determined in court, what's on your land registry. So basically, you can't go down the road after them doing A, B and C.
Yep. Once they come through your gates,
they're designated as an intruder. You're the occupier. The state, the constitution, you're provided with the safeguards there for you, provided you don't step outside the boundaries. And then reasonable force, well, what is reasonable force? And we go back to the constants and the variables. Do they come in? Have they a firearm? Have they a sword? Have they a cudgel? What have they, you know? And what have you, you know? But there is a level of protection there now, theoretically, that we didn't have before this.
One, what we have seen of late, and it's really encouraging, and it's like, you know, people are fighting back in a very safe way, obviously, and that's the cooperation the Gardaí have received. Thankfully now, more and more people, if they spot something suspicious, they're either getting in contact with the Gardaí, in some cases they're getting in contact with us, and we liaise with you guys and what have you. There has been a lot of public involvement in two very high profile cases of late, and public assistance. From a Garda perspective, that must be very welcome.
It's very welcome, Greg, and you've summed it up. I suppose people are aware that Garda resources are stretched, or they're not maybe what they were. We have bigger areas to cover. There's issues in relation to that every day. You hear it on the radio, no matter what part of the country you're in. We have got great people. Actually, burglaries have decreased. I know back there in April, there was a 9% decrease on April 2013, you know, when you looked at that quarter. And we think that came around basically because people become more vigilant. We had a number of high-profile aggravated burglaries targeted on elderly people, which really got communities exercised and got them up and out. We've had a big resurgence of community alert. The sharing of information by text alert, you know, we've had all of that, and we have people are just watching out that bit more. They're ringing up their local guards. They're saying, you know, there's something happening out here. We're not happy. And as you touched on there in the recent two cases, in one case there where the guards had an interest in the occupant's driving a silver Mercedes, which subsequently was involved in a traffic accident with a Garda patrol car out in the Castlefin area. And the occupants of the car took to the fields. Now, when you have a traffic accident, you don't normally take to the fields. You normally stand around and tell your story. So there was it was a car that we were interested to see who had access to and who were using it. So there was a big search, and the farmers came out, and a number of farmers gave the guards quads so that they could speedily search the fields and search out
and take the advantage over these guys.
Yeah. And this community involvement and community help that we got did lead to their arrest and give us a position, an opportunity to interview them. And the more recent one there that you spoke about, the activity in St. Johnson and that, and the two or three attempted burglaries and one actual burglary, the local flying club in the Finn Valley put up two of their small microlite aeroplanes, which was of great assistance.
That's real community stuff.
So that's the community saying, look, we don't want this criminal activity. We want to try and help and support the guards. We appreciate the need, this help. And it's something maybe that we didn't have for a long time, and it's something we have to capitalise on as well.
I'm not talking about those cases, and I'm not putting you on the spot once again either, though, but people will hear about certain crimes, and then a couple of days later or a couple of weeks later, they will read of the appearances in court. And the appearances in court and the charges do not tally with necessarily what people will have put two and two together. You know, maybe we look at it very simply, and with Gardaí, you have to look at it very differently. Is the work of Gardaí complicated by the law? Because I presume if you're looking at charges in any case, you have to go to the DPP and determine what is provable, is the burden of proof, do you think, too light? or sorry, you know, it favours the criminal too much? Or are you content with the way that is, Paul?
Well, I suppose we have to work with the tools that we have. It's a legislative issue. It's a matter for government. It's a matter for Garda management. If they're not happy with it, to say, look, we need stronger powers here, there, and elsewhere, and you see that happening. At the end of the day, you have to work within a framework in anything. You have to work within the laws of evidence, the legal framework is there. You have powers of detention. Mm-hmm. You have extended periods for different types of offences. You know, like drugs, I think it can stretch out to about 7 days. Or what they call arrestable offences, there's 6-hour detention, and then it can be extended by the superintendent and further extended by the chief superintendent. So that's the framework you have to work to. I think where the line gets blurred in a lot of times, with people, they think that the guards have some sort of an input. And what you said there about the DPP, the DPP is the Director of Public Prosecutions. They're a separate entity as such, and they're the law officer for the government, for the country. So basically the guard's job is like a brush and shovel, to make it very simple. You go out and you gather up the evidence. You see what happened. You sweep it all up. You present it, as you'll often hear, a file has been sent to the Director of Public Prosecutions. That's the way it goes. They look through that, the law officers up there. They see what is the evidential chain. Is it complete, or is it going so far and then there's a break?
And what's the likelihood of a conviction?
And what's the... Is the evidence there?
Yeah.
Does it lead to charges, specific offences? Then you're into the court arena then. Mm. You have defence, you have prosecution. They play out their game, and the judge or jury or whatever, they sit... And that's the way it works.
And I wanted to mention that because it's not probably as simple as we would think. You know, it's not a case looking for someone, get them to court. Yeah. 2 days later, down in prison, everything's done and dusted. It's more complicated.
Take for example the accident with the car in Castlefin and the Garda car. You know, everyone thought there was a bigger picture there, but at the end of the day, the evidence would have said a traffic accident happened and it was investigated as a traffic accident. And that was basically it. Certainly the guards were interested who was driving this car. They were able to establish that. And that's as far as that went as such. But community involvement and community, and I suppose even on that, Greg, last year Glenties district was amalgamated into Milford and Ballyshannon. And I suppose even getting the opportunity to say here, if people see something that they're not happy with in their area or something that they think the guard should know, they should make the call. Now, the divisional headquarters is Letterkenny. You can ring that from any part of the county and they'll transfer your call out to whatever district is relevant to your area. And the number in Letterkenny is 074-9167-100.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Milford, the 24-hour station. We have Buncrana, 24-hour station for Inishowen. Milford covering the whole area, basically nearly from the mountaintop here right down to the Gibara River. That whole scope of West Donegal. Now, doesn't mean that the guards are emanating from Milford.
Yeah, exactly.
Centre. There's somebody there in the 24/7. The same down your own home area, Ballyshannon, covering up to the Gibara River, back towards Barnesmore Gap, south to Bundoran, out to Pettico.
There's been suggestions that army should be involved. Now, not to be policing, not to be running people down, nothing like that, but to increase the presence, particularly maybe along the border, you know, get them out of the barracks. I know they've got things to do, but I'm just relating what people have said to me. Get them out of the barracks, let them be seen on the road. You know, if two guards need to be at a checkpoint, let it be a guard and maybe a soldier, and then there can be two checkpoints. Is that workable, do you think? Is it an idea we should look at? Is there any appetite for it in the Gardaí?
Well, I don't know. As I'm a crime prevention officer, and my job is to get information out.
Okay, I probably threw that one on you.
No, you didn't. And it's worthy of debate. But I remember years ago when I joined the guards back in Monaghan, we had what they used to call there would be checkpoints along the border, and it would have been the same in Donegal here. And the army would have come out, and they called it at that time an aid to the civil power, and the guards are the civil power. And, you know, you had the Anglo-Irish Agreement. I think maybe that's where that kind of flowed from at the time. and you would go out and you would, you know, you would do your ordinary checkpoints, but you'd also do strategic checkpoints along the border at different times, and yet at the armed or the army backup. I think, you know, we've moved away from that in a lot of ways. And, you know, military, the army have a busy enough job. They have their job to do, I'm sure. And people, you know, maybe think that they're sitting in barracks, but there's a lot of things to do, cash escorts. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other stuff, searches, and you see them out there. So I don't know. It wouldn't be something that it's certainly one. It's one of them for government and higher management,
and let's throw it out to the public, because
the defence forces.
Yeah, a couple of people have said it. Is it something that you'd want to see out in the streets? 086 77 00 555.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the optics of all.
Not
that.
Not everybody wants that.
At the same time, we have guards there, and we found now in them two recent incidents that were reported. You know, guards were out and were doing, and thankfully aided by the community. So the community, the role of the community is paramount. And all this. They are the yeas and the ears.
A caller wants to know, as much as you can determine from recent cases, not necessarily the last couple of weeks, but even going back, you know, if I hear a house alarm going off, or if I hear a car alarm going off, not just me, you walk straight past it, even a business alarm, it's like an annoyance rather than an alert to danger. It may be different with some of these alarms that are connected to, you know, telephone centres and what have you. But do we know if house alarms are acting as a deterrent? Is there any way of even anecdotally judging that?
Well, they are, yeah. And funny enough, it would be hard to carry out a survey, but my colleague Vincent Jackson, who's the crime prevention officer in Louth, and we always slag him off. He has a nice, wee small county. It's the size of
he's got it handy, hasn't he?
districts. But he did. He did. He's in Louth, as I said, and it's in the northern region now, and they would be getting this, what we call commuter crime, where they come out of the large urban areas, i.e. Dublin, and hit Navan, places Dundalk, Drogheda. In that area last year, 70% of the houses that were fitted an alarm had been burgled in the previous 12 months. So they're closing the door after the horse is bolted. Mm. Houses that have burglar alarms fitted, certainly sometimes they do have a go there as well, taking the chance that it's a dummy box or that the alarm isn't set. But as you said, and as the caller has said there, the proper alarm system is an alarm that's monitored somewhere.
Yeah.
It can be monitored to a monitoring station, but it also can be monitored to your own phone.
Or a neighbour or a friend.
You can just get a text alarm activation. Yeah. And if you're there or if you're not there, you can have two or three people. At least someone will come and check the house rather than landing back.
We have. I won't mention his name actually. An emailer who is named here. He says, "I just have to praise the whole operation the guards done yesterday in St. Johnston. I was one of the houses the thugs were looking to get into, and I just want to say thank you to the guards."
Yeah, well, it's nice, I suppose, and you know, it's more than you at the head of the interview there. You were getting dates wrong and time wrong. At least we know there's somebody else listening.
Well,
you're
not going to let that one go, are you? Arrest me, officer.
It's just not the two of us in here. But look, it's a good opportunity to get out, and it's nice to hear that back. And I'd like to thank that person who went to the trouble to email or phone in.
Now, hopefully you're going to be coming on a reasonably regular basis on the programme.
The fee is all right.
The fee is a cup of tea, and you've already had this week's fee. But, you know, we want to maybe touch on, you know, if there's any appeals the guards want to get at, if that suits operation, we'll do that. But also to give some tips as to how we can protect ourselves.
Greg, just stopping you.
Yes.
the Gael, not the Gael Force, there's a cycle race on out towards Errigal or not, just to make motorists aware. I think it's Extreme North, Extreme North event, and they're all going fairly hard out there. So it's just for motorists. Just to delayed my
good point.
Appearance here, but just
there was a very sophisticated email going out, and I don't want to sound like I'm praising them. Last week, it was to do with people, to do with their iTunes accounts, and it was getting people to change the information. And for all intents and purposes, it looked good. And we want to talk a little bit now, if you don't mind, about cybersecurity. Yeah. That might be the theme of what we'll wrap up with, if you don't mind.
We're into the summer months. The weather is promised good for next week. And I touched on it with the cars at houses and, you know, locking up and that. But we are seeing that, you know, people are going to be going out to Slieve League, to Errigal, to Glenveagh, all of these places. Don't be leaving stuff visible in your car. They are going around. There's guys going around. They're trying the door handles. And if it's secluded, the window will go in. You're coming back, your stuff is gone, you have an insurance claim. There's 2 or 3 days of your week gone trying to sort that and get glass fixed and all of that sort of thing. So, look, you have been warned. If you're out in scenic areas, if you're parking your car, one thing, maybe locking stuff away in the boot. Better still, just leave it behind
God
you.
Knows,
or take it with you if
you're
it's
at a funeral or something.
Whatever.
I mean, yes. It's terrible to have to say the warning, but every year, people's cars attending funerals and you mind somewhere else.
The last spate, and you covered it in the news that we had in Termon and in Buncrana, them guys physically went up through the estate in Termon checking the door handles. Mm-hmm. They didn't break into any car. Mm-hmm. The cars were open. But what we're seeing is 6.6 million euros worth of property was taken in the last year out of cars.
That's huge.
Nationally. That's huge.
That doesn't include the damage done to the cars either.
Cash, laptops, mobile phones is what they're looking for. And 220 euros is the average value of stuff taken in the last year. We have what they call an infogram service now that gives us this kind of information. 11% was the theft of mobile phones, 12% laptops, handheld computers, 15% cash. So you see that, and 9% motor accessories. Actually, we had a lady down in the hospital, a nurse, who came out in the morning in the dark, finishing her duty, went to drive away and thought that the car was cold. And she looked around and the left back door was gone off the car. And we would see that at times, spare wheels being taken off and that sort of thing. But you can live with that. It's this other stuff and the damage and creating crime opportunities. So that's all I want to say on that.
With 2 minutes, Paul, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Is that it? We'll carry on the other stuff.
No. I just wanted to get
it's
that one out about.
It's an important one because it's time sensitive.
Well, it's the time of the year and we promise good weather.
And we'll talk about cybersecurity and some of these other scams as time progresses. Garda Sergeant Paul Wallace, thank you very much for coming into studio. It's very much appreciated, and we look forward to speaking to you again in the future.
Thanks, Greg, and good luck with the programme.
Thank you very much. 086 77 00 555 is the text line, or you can call us 0749 125 000. Back with more after the break. You're very welcome back to the programme. Just a couple of comments before I play another ad break. I'm sorry, but I have to catch up on those. You should name and shame these people. At least then we can keep an eye out and their poor families might get to be able to stop them gits, says that texter. Sorry about the language, but that's how people feel. Did any of these houses have burglary alarms? We got that one answered for you. Hi, Greg. Communities in Donegal are setting up text alerts. Can you encourage people to join? I think this will help the Garda. Kevin, certainly do. And we try and do as much as that as we can. And it's reaping dividends. You know, these community alerts, these text alerts, us keeping our eyes open, it is really making a difference. And that's what the Garda are telling us. And isn't that good? And I was thinking there, you know, we talk about the number plates and how these cars can change the number plates so easily. Perhaps also we should be looking out for, you know, say a broken tail light or a bumper that's been damaged or whatever when trying to identify these vehicles, because these people, not wishing to praise them, they're bloody good at robbing houses and they know all the tricks of the trade, and we can outsmart them and help the Garda in the process. 074 91 25 000. Wait to take your call there. We're going to be speaking to John Keyes about Buncrana's Friday. Oh, it's not going well, is it? What is it? Funny Friday? No, it's not. It's Fiverr Friday. I just want to mention to you that coming up at 12 o'clock, it's P.O. Mechanic. Hello, P.O.
How
are
you doing, Greg?
There he is. He's actually ready to go. It's my studio till 12, P.O.
Pardon?
It's my studio till 12.
I know it is.
He's got a fantastic show lined up for you. Jerry Guthrie's going to be in studio, and they'll also be talking to Dolores Keane. So what a lineup there. Rightio, we're joined on studio on telephone now by John Keyes. Hi, John.
Good morning, Greg.
It's great to speak with you, John. Now, tell us about this. And it's a Buncrana Chamber of Commerce initiative, is it?
That's right, Greg, yeah. We took part in Festive Friday, Fiver Friday last December, as you alluded to earlier on, as part of the Joe Duffy Liveline initiative. And we did that on a small scale, rolled it out just across probably 13, 14 odd shops.
How did that work, John? How successful was it or otherwise?
The lead-in time, Greg, was quite short for us. So the feedback I got from the businesses was, although it mightn't have been a huge success, what they saw was new business coming through their doors, they saw shops that wouldn't normally come into their stores coming in and browsing and looking at the offers that were on. So it was an idea there on the back burner, Greg, and we were just keen to roll it out across as many businesses as we could in Buncrana.
Now, you've taken the ball and running with it, because the idea is to do this on a monthly basis now in Buncrana.
That's right, Greg, yeah. We start, we launch next Friday, July 25th, and we will run it on the last Friday of every month. What we want to do, we want to encourage people to shop local, to eat local, to spend local, and really just enjoy local. And for one day a month, the majority of businesses throughout Buncrana, I have 44 businesses signed up to date.
How many?
44.
Wow.
Yeah, so they will have offers in their stores, shops, cafes, and bars that day for a fiver. Some items will be discounted, some services will be offered for a fiver or at a fiver discount. And the majority of those businesses will run it throughout the day, and a minority of the businesses will have offers available.
Yeah, because every business is different. Some, the profit margins are tighter. Some of the businesses may not lend itself to selling something for a fiver. So the great thing about it being taking this initiative and sort of maybe adapting it yourselves is that there can be that level of flexibility, that there will be a fiver incentive, be it a product or a discount or some sort of an encouragement.
That's entirely correct, Greg. And we're absolutely delighted that so many businesses have signed up to the initiative, and each business is quite aware that it mightn't be a huge success next Friday, but what we want to do is we want to build on it, and that's why it's to be the last Friday of every month. And
well, you're going to be in a dilemma, John, if this becomes a success and other towns start copying you. You know, we're going to have to rotate the Fridays. So,
it's basically, Greg, the more the merrier. We're trying to encourage people to shop local. Obviously, we're trying to promote Inishowen, but we're quite aware that and encourage and understand that people will shop in Letterkenny and they will shop in Derry, and all the businesses have no problem with that. What we're trying to do is create a wee special day, so to speak, in Buncrana town itself, and obviously the businesses want to encourage people to stay local and enjoy local.
I was going to ask, what I wanted to ask or mention too as well is that, you know, multinationals, big areas, they offer a fantastic service, but there may be people that are in a formula or in a habit of how they shop, and maybe they have overlooked the fact that smaller business, local businesses are doing more and more to compete, and that the savings for travelling aren't necessarily the same as they used to be, because, you know, business people are business people, and they know they have to compete, and they are doing so. And maybe an initiative like this will help, you know, get some of those what have been strangers for a while back onto the main street to see that, well, actually, you know, once I take petrol and diesel and my time into consideration, maybe I'm not saving an absolute fortune.
Well,
if anything,
that's what we hope, Greg. And well, I mean, the strength of this initiative will be the diversity of businesses that are taking part. So there will be huge choice on the high street on that particular day. There's huge choice on the high street anyway, but in terms of getting that offer, that bargain, and I think as this initiative snowballs and as it becomes more successful, I think businesses what you'll see in businesses is even bigger bargains, if that makes sense, you know, whereby they will see the value in actually targeting that day in particular to actually give that once in a month real, just like, special offer, you know. So That's what I'm hoping for, and I know that's what the Chamber of Commerce is hoping for anyway.
And like anything and any great idea, it rises or falls on how well it's supported. And next Friday, you know, it's almost like a soft launch, you seem to be indicating, and you're hoping that over the coming months that it will build and build into, you know, something that's seen as a huge shopping event, I suppose, not wishing to overstate it, but you know what I'm saying.
Very much so, Greg, and we've done some advertising in the local press, and the local papers are supporting us next week in running news items, and obviously yourselves as well have been very generous with airtime. And all we're asking is for people to mark it in the diary. Next Friday, July 25th, 44 businesses in Buncrana from the Cockhill Road all the way out to Lower Main Street and down into Ardravern Square. There, every single business along that stretch of road is taking part. They will carry posters in their windows stating that fact, and there will be great offers on the high street, Greg. So I encourage all the people of Buncrana and the hinterlands to come into Buncrana and have a wee stroll along the main street and enjoy the offers in our businesses.
All right, the Buncrana Bonanza. We could create our own name for this one, John.
Well, there you go, Greg.
We'll see how we get on. But look, you know, many people are critical of what, you know, Dublin's doing for us, and others aren't, obviously. But, you know, sometimes to get ahead, you have to sort of get your hands dirty yourself and see what you can do on a local level with parking initiatives and these type of things. And I'm very much looking forward to see how it goes, John. And I do appreciate you sparing the time this Saturday morning to talk to us about it.
Likewise, Greg, and thank you very much. And the show today has been very enjoyable. But again,
you're not getting back on, John, just because you say that, you know.
it's July 25th, Destination Buncrana, Greg.
All right, then. Listen, fair play to you, John. Thanks so much. That's Friday, Fiverr Friday, from the very gracious John Keyes. There, it's a Buncrana Chamber of Commerce initiative. 44 businesses involved. Now, there are a couple of things, apologies I have to make. We are going to be talking about Primerica. It was rated in the top 30 nicest places to work in Europe. I will tape that and play that for you next Saturday, or we'll do it live next Saturday. It's an interesting story, but unfortunately time is against us today. We're still working out how much you can squeeze into 2 hours, so we are letting people down. Those business people that moved to Dublin, to Donegal, to start a new visit from Dublin, they'll also be joining us on the programme next week. But we've been inundated with calls and comments, and taken a little bit aback by that and some of the popularity of the pieces that we've had, so we have come up against the clock a little bit. But those features will be on the show next week. On those alarms, says this caller, people have to text to set it off. Is there any sort of alarm that you can just push a button, as some old people can't text? There's an old man besides me who won't go to bed at night because he's terrified. Well, that's another story altogether, isn't it? There are these pendants that you have that you can press a button to alert the Gardaí or a special service, but a bit of VAT's gone on those of late, so that's another story that perhaps we'll touch on that, because I think it's very important. In relation to how much people get paid, why would Beckham or anyone else get paid that amount of money? What about the people on the streets who've no homes, no money, no food? It's pathetic, says a caller. Using a mobile phone in a restaurant is okay if you're on your own. I do it as a sort of a comfort blanket, join the club. But it's all you seem to see now in restaurants. No doubt there'll be one person at a table with their head stuck on their phones. It's unmannerly and there's no need for it, says that caller. And what facilities does the council provide for rubbish on the Wild Atlantic Way? There's no bins available and people end up throwing the rubbish out of their cars, camper vans. Well, let's pray that doesn't happen too much. Calls and comments I can't get through. Thank you so much to everyone who listened and participated in the programme and the guests as well. P.O. McCann is coming up with a couple of fantastic guests for you after 12. Thank you very much to Yvonne McFadden, who produced the programme. I'll be back with you, obviously, on air doing the news during the week and for another weekend edition next Saturday from 10.